I'll read the scriptures, so I ask us to remain standing so that we read the scriptures. God is faithful. The reading of the Bible is from John chapter 9, and we are looking at the first 12 verses. Then I give us an outline and share briefly from God's word. John chapter 9, from verse 1 up to verse 12, the NIV version of the Bible. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. This is Jesus. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came back seeing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes open?" they asked. He replied, and this is very simple. It is just a testimony. It is not theology. Is as is. "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for this word that we continue to celebrate as a community of believers here in Westlands at Parklands Baptist. Those who are in person, those in the pavilion, those watching online in homes across Africa, in Kenya and across Africa, and also around the world. We thank you that we are blessed we can gather and consider your word. And therefore, Lord, as I bring it, Holy Spirit, use me, release it into our hearts, and God, lead us to the place where we apply your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And we all say, we may have our seats. The Bible instructs us to divide the word of truth, and that's what I'm going to do, under the heading, Uncommon Grace Rewriting Your Story. Uncommon Grace Rewriting Your Story. And there are three spaces to visit. One, grace that locates you. And second, grace that reveals God's glory. And thirdly, grace that gives you a new identity. I just want to repeat once again, the title is Uncommon Grace Rewriting Your Story. Text, John chapter 9, verse 1 to 12. Grace that locates you, grace that reveals God's glory, and grace that gives you a new identity. Let me begin by making some declarations. Number one, your story is changing. Hallelujah. Number two, your identity is unlocking. Number three, your past will not define your future, I declare in Jesus' name. And number four, you will be known not by your problems, but by your transformation. If you agree with those statements, let's give a hand to the Lord. Let me hear, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, Jesus. And I want to say that the pen of uncommon grace is not a pen, ordinary pen like this one. The pen of uncommon grace has ink in it, and that ink is the blood of Jesus. And God is writing a new story. He is rewriting your narrative. And he is doing it through the pen of grace. And that pen is loaded with the blood of Jesus. And so, I want to say that what uncommon grace will do and does in our lives is not an improvement program that takes an old life and kind of improves on it. And I know that there are so many organizations that try to improve people's lives. And sometimes people get to a place in life and say, I need a recalibration of my life, and therefore I will go to this institution or this particular place, and through advisories or through knowledge or through philosophies or ideologies or through money or whatever it is, I will come out as an improved version. I want to say that uncommon grace is not in the business of improvement. Uncommon grace is not in the business of panel beating. Like when a car gets an accident and you take it to the garage and the mechanics, they are experts, they are good at it, and they fix it, it comes looking renewed. In fact, as I say this, I remember I had a vehicle at Daihatsu Chairman Station, Wagon, and one time around Pangani, this trailer driver hit me from the back, pushed my boot right in, and then I got out, we talked, and within no time, they organized for me and my car to be taken to Karioko, where there is a garage there. Lo and behold, as we arrived, I didn't know you can have that many mechanics in one place. And they were competing to get this car. Within no time, it had been panel beaten and painted, and I went out feeling I have a new car. However, after a while, after the sun beating the paint on my car, the car was meant to be brown, but the whole rear became green. I don't understand how it turned out to be green, but after sunbathing, that car turned green. So every time I would be on the road, the police would stop me, and they would ask me, come to my window, and they would say, bring the driving license. And the next question would be, what color is your car? And I would say, it is brown. And from there, we would have a discussion. Let me say, uncommon grace, this garage, this place, this station, is not a place of improvement, like somebody going to a rehab, and maybe through a medical process or some wisdom, then their life is helped in some form of improvement. And I'm not saying any rehabs are wrong, they are good, and they can be helpful. No. Uncommon grace rewrites the story completely. Hallelujah. Now, there is a man in the text, he was born blind, and Jesus shows up in verse 1 and 2. As he went along, he saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born? You know, when Jesus shows up, he doesn't join the chorus of those who begin to enter a conversation regarding your problem, your family problem, or your history, or your journey. In verse 2, you find a community of people, and that's how people many times respond when they see somebody who has a problem. They are trying to find the root of the problem, and they are trying to get all kinds of conversations around it, and they are looking for someone to blame or something to blame. And what happens today is not new. It happened long time ago. This grace does not just begin to converse and begin to understand the problem and to try to assign a root to the problem, like they are trying to do here. And they are saying, well, maybe this is generational. And it is something that probably came from great-grandfather someplace. And that is why in today's experience, this man is a victim. This man is suffering today and because of some other things. You know, this grace, number one, locates you. It doesn't enter conversations. When you look at verse 1, it says, when Jesus saw, and we have a God who sees. In fact, one of the names of God is a God who sees. When you read Exodus chapter 3 and verse 7, you see God saying, I see, I have seen, and I have heard. You know, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slaves or slaves. And God, in his uncommon grace, is moved by compassion, and he takes initiative, and he locates us. I know there are many families represented here, and those online, and those in the pavilion. May I say to you today that we have a God who sees. Hallelujah. Why don't you give him a hand? A God who sees. And he doesn't just see the physical outside. He can see your emotional status. He can see your mental status. He can see your spiritual status, physical status. He'll understand when the body is hurting, when the mind is hurting, you know, mental health issues, when your emotions are hurting, and when your spirit is hurting, there is only one, Jehovah, the Lord, who sees, who is able to see with penetrating eyes, and he knows us very, very well. There is not a station or a person here that God does not see. Why? Because first of all, he created you. That story is in Psalm 139. If you go back later home, you can note somewhere, verse 1 to 14. And you see that when your parts were being formed in your mother's womb, God was there doing it. Every intricate part, God put it together. You will also see that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You will also see that God's thoughts are like the sand of the sea regarding you. This is the God we interact with. This is the God of grace. And this is why, like my brother, Pastor Kiniti, you mentioned why it is uncommon right here. You know, the big, great God. And he is so considerate of a human being. When you think in terms of the galaxies, you know, there are several of them. If you think about the stars and the planets, the earth is so small. But when you put yourself as an individual on that earth, you kind of even become smaller. You see, but God will locate you. It doesn't matter where you are in the world. God will and does locate you. Therefore, it is a grace that takes initiative, first of all, and it's a grace that browses, you know. It's also a grace that pinpoints and a grace that is able to identify a person. In this text, he is a blind man and he has been blind since birth. But this is the day of grace for him, and he has been located. And I want us to be reminded once again, God's grace locates you. That's the threshold. That is the entry of rewriting your story. That's where it all begins, because God locates you. And he locates you. His eye is stronger than the eagle's eye. Pastor Regan, you did the homework about the eagle I had asked in the first service. And you said from 3 kilometers up or 3.5 kilometers, it can actually locate a rat in the grass. And then it locks on the rat and then it does its swoop. It comes, opens its claws, and it's very precise. It picks the rat and goes to enjoy. And you know, God's eye is sharper than the eagle's eye. The eagle's eye is about 5 to 6 times more powerful than the human eye. And God's eye is so powerful. Talking about eagles swooping on rats. Right here we had a reception one time. And I went and took my chicken and whatever from the plate. And I was walking almost whistling. You know the way you walk and, you know, salivating. Because I was going to have a great meal. And I had put a drumstick, you know, of a chicken. And so I was walking victoriously back to my seat. But lo and behold, I don't know where this eagle came from. And it did its thing. Within no time, my chicken was gone. I was just watching it from a distance. And the eagle was going to enjoy it. I want to say that our God, his eye is more powerful than the eagle's eye. And our God locates you. Hallelujah. Yes, you can give a hand to the Lord. And therefore, this grace locates you as eyes. And they are called divine eyes. God can see you at night. He can see you during the day. He knows there is blindness. He knows there is pain. He knows there are tears in that family, in that life, in that individual. He understands. That is God. But what does society do? In verse 2, they begin a conversation. I say, why is this one suffering like this? And then they go to, you know, trying to look for the root of that particular problem. But I thank God for grace, because grace locates me. Not because I deserve, but because God has chosen to love me and locate me. And this grace I'm talking about is being served from this altar today. The grace that locates you. The eyes that see. And their eyes of grace. And where you have been overlooked, grace is locating you. Where they were discussing you, grace is mitigating. And where they have rejected you, grace is celebrating you. Let's give a hand to the Lord. This is wonderful. It is really, really, really wonderful. And so there is a guy called Mephibosheth. As I transition to the next point, Mephibosheth in 2 Samuel chapter 9, verse 1 to 8, I'll just read it. And but just by reading, I'm sure the Lord will speak to us. David asked, "Is there anyone still left of the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They summoned him to appear before David, and the king said to him, "Are you Ziba?" "At your service," he replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still alive from the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" This is how this grace, locating grace works. Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is lame in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "This is a specific location. He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodibar." So King David had him brought from Lodibar, from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down to pay him honor. David said, hallelujah, this is not the moment of the grace here functioning. "Mephibosheth, at your service," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will do what? I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always," a second line there, "always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" He didn't feel like he deserves, and that is how grace works. You don't have to deserve. God takes the initiative. The king himself sees your family, sees your situation, sees your need. He takes initiative. He doesn't wait for you to move, and we have a God who sees. But number two, grace that reveals God's glory. Grace that reveals God's glory. In verse 3 to verse 7, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. Of course, he addresses the question of the root of the problem. And he says, it's not this man, it is not his parents. He removed it from that premise or that conversation. He disarmed the community because that is what they were using to discuss this particular problem. In other words, he's saying, this is not for discussion. Don't treat it like that. You don't understand the greater purposes of God. And so he goes ahead to say Jesus, "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Hallelujah. That's very, very powerful. I want to say the problem you are facing, God's glory will be displayed through it. God is about to do something in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming. Night is coming when no one can work. "While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." After saying this, he spit on the ground. He's now going to prove that he's actually the light of the world. And he can give light to a life. He can actually give life. Light. He can confer or bequeath light to a life. So whatever is going to happen is very authoritative now and practical and demonstrated. After saying this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came home seeing. Why don't you give a hand to the Lord? He washed and he came back seeing. The situation you are in now is for the revelation of God's glory. And God will turn that problem into a testimony. Your tears will become a testimony. Your struggle is a stage for God's glory. That curse, they said, was on your life, is a canvas for a miracle, is a stage for God's glory. And when they put Joseph in the pit, they did not know that the pit would soon become a palace. You know, they didn't know that from pit to palace, but they put him in the pit. They kind of cut off his story and went back to the father and said, Joseph is finished, is gone. You'll never see him again. But who is God? Like Pastor Ambrose says, Mungu ni nani? Who is God? Who is God? And they have consigned you into a space and they think you are history. You are forgotten. You are past. I want to say here, you are rising in Jesus' name. And God is going to use our situation to demonstrate his glory and to show who he is. There are others in the Bible like Esther, like Ruth, and even David himself, who was a shepherd in the peripherals of history. But suddenly, a prophet Samuel shows up in their home in 1 Samuel 16, and verse 13, and he anoints him to become king. He has to be called from wherever he was. Grace locates David as a shepherd. And David, just like Mephibosheth, who is brought to the king's table, is brought to where Samuel is. And then is anointed to become king. Let me say, I see a movement this coming week. Not only of location by this uncommon grace, but also God begin to work a revelation of his glory in your life and in your situation. That boss has sat on you for a long time. I am saying God is moving. And that boss will watch from the sidelines as they see you rise from one degree of glory to another one. Like I shared earlier here, meditation on Isaiah 60 verse 1 and verse 3. Verse 1 says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. But verse 3 says, nations will come to your light, and kings to the rising of your dawn. Am I prophesying here? Am I saying something? Is somebody receiving it? Nations will come to your light and kings to the rising of your dawn. The pit where they put you, the Lord very soon is lifting you from there and is bringing you to a palace where everybody will see. It shall be public. It shall be seen openly, because that is the God we serve and the God we know. It is an unveiling, it is a revelation of God's glory. And so, God uses methods that are not conventional. Isaiah 55 verse 8 and verse 9, of course, says God's ways are not our ways. Neither are his thoughts our thoughts. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so are his ways above our ways and his thoughts above our thoughts. And God will do something. And he wants you to connect in the line of faith. Like in this instance here, Jesus uses saliva and he spits on the soil, the loose soil. And with his fingers, I believe, he must have put together the mud to some texture. Maybe not too hard, just enough to be used for application. And he must have spat once, maybe twice, until he saw that it has come to the texture that he needed for that particular miracle. And you know, when God is working out his glory in your situation, the people watching around will think it's foolishness. And they will wonder, they'll think nothing is going on. Because with this blind man, they must have tried hospitals, they must have tried everywhere, but suddenly this man has come, and all he is doing is actually mixing soil with saliva. And they must have dismissed him, or dismissed what he was doing, as utter foolishness. Let me say this. The foolish things, God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. It's found in the book of Corinthians. God has chosen the foolish things of this world to confound the wise. And don't despise small beginnings, and especially as whenever they are coming from far and you don't fully understand what is actually happening. Let me prophesy and say that God will work in an unconventional way to give you the breakthrough that you desire. Hallelujah. Unconventional. Not one that you have anticipated. Because you probably have all these plans of solving the problem. And you have gone here and there and there, and you have put all these things as the things to solve the problem. God will overrule all of that. He will actually push all of that off the table. And then he begins to take soil and put mud. The method God is going to use to come through for you is a method you've never imagined. In fact, he will use a source that you have despised in the past. I'm also prophesying. God will use a source you have despised in the past. The method you thought that could not bring healing or hope in your family, you know, or in your personal life. But here he is making mud. That's the nature of grace. Grace is unconventional because grace doesn't follow the formulas of this world. How does God pick a sinner who doesn't deserve? And Pastor Kiniti, remember you quoted Romans 5 verse 8. God shows his love for me in that while I was yet a sinner, he was doing something, isn't it? While I was a sinner, yeah, he died for me. The whole works on the cross. Jesus came, he became a human being. People were watching it and thinking, this is funny. And then Jesus is tried. And then he's condemned. Then he goes to a cross. And he's actually, first of all, he was born in a manger, which is not conventional. And then now he's on the cross and the nails are put and a crown of thorns. They remove part of his garments. There's that spear. And then he dies. He's buried. And this is supposed to be the salvation of the world. Grace is unconventional. And sometimes we expect God through this door, and he comes through the other door. And that is why many people have not seen the hand of God. What you need in your situation is not to keep fighting. It is to surrender to God's plan. Because Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the plan I have for you, says the Lord. And this plan is good. You know these plans, yeah? Declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. That is what he's preparing through the mud and everything. And people despise that cross, yet it is the cross that has the solution and everything that we actually need. And eventually, Jesus anoints the eyes and gives a command like he gives you and me. It's up to us now to obey. If you want to be healed, listen to God. Obey his word. And then he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. It means sent. And he went there. He washed. I'm telling you, the eyes just popped open. This guy, his story being rewritten by grace, begins to see things he has never, never seen before. I am saying the anointing of God's unconventional method shall bring the breakthrough that you desire. And you find yourself in a space you've never been before. If it's a promotion, do you know it's possible to be promoted 5 levels or 6 levels? There are those ones that are set up in organizations, organograms and things like that. And you're saying this one here, this one here, this one here. And your entry comes in at this level. And you feel like you are consigned there. Yani uliwekwa hapo, Mungu akasahau ati wewe uliingia hiyo organization na umekaa pale. I am here to say God is able to overrule human arrangements in very unconventional ways. And there's some people who say, these preachers, do they understand what they are talking about? You know, they're so simplistic or presumptuous. But let me put it this way. This grace I'm talking about, for God's glory, is able to lift you from that level and bring you up to this other level. We went somewhere with Deacon Ewor and Francis Mukusa here yesterday after the Shepherd's Forum, and there were 4 major testimonies in that homestead. Up past Limuru, a place called Murengeti. Murengeti means blanket. It's a very cold place, so they need blankets. And we got into that homestead. And as a priest, I stood up. There was a big group, people in tents. I said, now I declare this conference or this meeting a conference of gratitude. And in the spiritual realms, I put a basket in front of all of us here, and it's a basket of thanksgiving. After I said that, you remember Brother Mukusa? I called the guy. I said, stand up. And I said, you proclaim the thanksgiving. Load the basket. And he had a microphone. So he loaded that basket. And there were five major items that the Lord had actually delivered since 2017 or something like that. Yeah, the Lord had actually delivered. And you know, interesting enough, because it was a day of showing forth God's glory, all these people had come to witness this big testimony. I was invited, Deacon Ewor, Deacon Francis, and Cassina, William, we were all there, plus other people from this church, went there to see what the Lord had actually done. And afterwards, you know, they began to tell us, Pasi, you know what? The words you speak based on scripture from the pulpit, and you ask us to receive, yeah? That's what has brought us this. Not their money, but simply taking God at his word, unconventional. And you know, one of the biggest items, of course the others were big, was a magnificent home. In fact, I kept looking, you know, there you open your mouth and you're just looking. Because the testimonies of God invoke wonder. You kind of like, wow. And you're going, wow. And the other, wow. We got into the house, you remember? And that place was a wow place. And we took those pictures. I am saying it is coming in your direction. Hallelujah. The glory of God must manifest. The glory of God must manifest in Africa. And I know we have a terrain full of stuff. The media reports so much of problems. It's a conversation and a commentary on problems. But I am saying the God I know and this uncommon grace that rewrites our story, we are now being set up for God's glory. And therefore, for every, the flip side of every problem is the glory of God. And God is going to manifest. But finally, grace that gives you a new identity. Grace that gives you a new identity. John chapter 9, verse 8 to 12. This is what it says. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." He's saying, "I am the man." "How then were your eyes opened?" they asked. He replied, "The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and then could see." This is the evidence part of the text. The evidence, undeniable. Grace made him unrecognizable to his past. People were shocked. A testimony silences the voices of doubt. They could not mistake it. This kid went back to school, had dropped out for some time, and now this kid is graduating, and I'm going to Australia, Sydney, to witness this kid reaching master's level. A kid was difficult, and you mentor a young man, and you keep praying with him, and you say, "Dream beyond here," and he dreams. And God begins to make that way for that young man. And eventually, a rostrum or a platform of victory will be set up this coming Friday. I'm a very happy pastor. And you go there. I'm telling you, for me, it gets so emotional. So emotional. You're sitting there. You know this young man. And now you're seeing what? Hallelujah. What the Lord has done. Amazing, amazing, amazing. The identity, to the extent that you cannot compare, when you are looking at this particular person and you know their story, where they started, and you're looking at them now, you cannot compare the two. And even the people from the area, they are actually conversing. They really, really cannot connect the two. And they are asking him, and this man finally says, "It is I." Now remember what he said later on. He said, "All I know, I was blind, but now I see." The miracle God is going to do by this uncommon grace that rewrites your story will be such that they will be asking, "Is this the same family? Is this the same person? Is this the person I knew those days?" And by the way, in this service, there is somebody who has been looking for me. We were in school together from Standard 1 to Standard 7. And somehow, I think through Facebook, whatever, today they found their way in this church. I think they are sitting somewhere, either upstairs or downstairs. They went to the U.S. from Standard 1 to 7. But now they were looking for me, and they found me. They are somewhere in this service, or in my office earlier. And she's looking at me. I said, hey, amazing. God can do something. God can do something. It was in my office just before this service. And they will look for you. They won't find you where they left you. Hallelujah. They will find you where God will have positioned you. And common grace rewriting your story. And I say the pen of grace with the blood of Jesus Christ begins to write your story. Now, this child is born again. You know, he or she is a conqueror. You know, they are rising to the next level. And I want to tell you, the pen of grace uses scripture and rewrites the destiny God has for you. And what God, men have written regarding you, consigned you to the dustbins. God is able to lift you, open the lid, lift you from that dustbin, place you in that place of testimony, and the world will testify and say, see what the Lord has done. In fact, there's a song like that. So 2 Corinthians 5:17, as I come to a close, says, if anyone is in Christ, is what? A new creation. The old is gone, behold, the new has come. This is the nature of this grace. Your past does not define your future. When people are looking at your past, God is looking at your future. Therefore, work with God. The people will talk about your history. Let them talk. That's what's happening here. But work with God regarding your future. And therefore, this man, located by grace, this man, grace revealing glory through his life, and this man receiving a new identity. Today, the altar call is very, very simple. If you are saying, Lord, I need this uncommon grace, lift your hands. If you are saying, Lord, I need this uncommon grace, lift your hands. My God, I thank you for all these hands. Mine is up too, because I need this uncommon grace. Now stand up so that we can make some prayer declaration together. You could say after me, Lord Jesus, step into my story. Rewrite every chapter of my pain, limitation, and shame. Let your grace speak for me and manifest your glory in my life, in the life of my family, in the life of generations from me, from going forward. I declare by faith, my story is changing. My story has changed. I am not what I was an hour ago. There is a new narrative that the pen of uncommon grace has written regarding me, regarding my family, and regarding generations from me. In Jesus' name. A hand clap to the Lord. In Jesus' name. Glory to his name. Father, in the name of Jesus, I want to thank you so much for the reminder regarding uncommon grace that rewrites our story. I thank you for the beneficiary of this uncommon grace in John chapter 9, a man who was born blind. But God, by your locating him, the grace that locates, God, by your glory flowing through his situation, the grace that reveals God's glory, and Lord, by changing him into a new identity, the grace that changes our identity. This man who was blind is now a seeing man. And that testimony is speaking to the nations. Just like the testimony of the Samaritan woman in John chapter 4 verse 39 speaks to Sychar. And because of her testimony, many people came to Jesus. My God, I see this grace upon your people here online in the pavilion and everywhere. And I see this grace at work. This grace will remove the blindness. This grace will remove the disease. This grace will remove the oppression. This grace brings salvation. This grace brings deliverance. This grace weaves hope where there is no hope. God, I see this grace upon your people, all of us here. And I see us walking through the week with uncommon grace that rises a story, activated by this prayer and operating every day of the week. And therefore, my Father, you shall do, and by this prayer, we allow you to do the extraordinary in unconventional ways. You will come in ways we have not premeditated, and we give you permission through this week, because you are the Lord who sees. And therefore, there will be miracles we've not anticipated, and God, you are going to work in ways we've never known. Therefore, this is your week. We release ourselves totally into your hands. God, move like you moved in the life of that man. And God, bring the breakthrough we have tarried and waited for a long time. Now you can lift your hands to God. My God, I thank you, because I want to crown the word I've shared with the blessing. And I pray that we are blessed on Monday. We are blessed on Tuesday. We are blessed on Wednesday. We are blessed on Thursday. We are blessed on Friday. We are blessed on Saturday, and we are blessed this coming Sunday. Father, I know because of this blessing covering all of us this week, all of us are safe and secure. No weapon fashioned from hell shall touch anyone listening to my voice in the name of Jesus Christ. And that God, the heavens will remain open. And because of this blessing, then supplies upon supplies shall come to each one of us. Whoever is in need, God, you'll meet them at the point of need, because that's what your blessing does. So once again, thank you for blessing us with every blessing in the spiritual realms. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And we all say, a big hand clap to Jesus. Yes, he's amazing. He's just amazing. Turn to the person next to you and tell them your story has been rewritten already. And that's right, through uncommon grace and in Jesus' name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Amen. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever and ever. Amen. Shalom.